Today on Real Radio.
Listen, also by religious mockery, this man will come on the global scene. It will become a global event, his coming onto the world scene, because he will make light of your faith, or I should say faith in Jesus Christ. I personally believe that what we're seeing in Europe is the advent of the revised or the resurrection of the old Roman Empire. Or I read it this week, the United States of Europe.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Revelation. We now arrive at the chapter that many have been waiting for, chapter 13. Of course, this is the 666 portion of Scripture, as well as other exciting things. One key question is, what does it all mean for us? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called Antichrist is Coming to Town.
He will be one who is in a leadership role of what used to be ancient Roman Empire or ancient Europe. It will be, the Bible tells us, coming back together again in the last days. There'll be a United States of Europe in the last days. It will be a system that will begin to dominate financially the world. The euro, I believe, is on its way to take over the dollar. There are companies and there are countries that are engineering that very thing and preparing. I know some of you that, my goodness, it's been several years now. You went out and bought thousands and thousands of euros. And now you've done pretty good on your money. Why is that the case? Because you'll see a currency arise out of Europe that will overcome the dollar, will overcome the British pound, it will overcome the yen or other currencies. The Bible speaks about the Antichrist formulating a financial system that is going to be all-powerful. And it's going to eventually become his world. But the thing is that he comes on the scene and it will be a global event that grows. Now look, we know this, that Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 and 27 tells us that this treaty that he'll sign with Israel is good for 7 years. Well, he's going to have some clout before that 7 years comes to pass. Who's going to listen to this guy, right? But it could be that he's involved in a process whereby that's his claim to fame, that he brought peace to the Middle East. Now, look, I don't know about you guys, but that ought to perk up your ears. Do you listen to current news? The world is looking for someone to bring peace to the Middle East. It's like the pivotal point for everything. You say, well, it doesn't bother me. Yes, it does bother you. You just don't know it yet. But there are things going on. My goodness, the front of today's LA Times. In the light of the Muslim terrorist attacks on Russia, did you see what Vladimir Putin said this week? And he's being warned by his members of government, don't talk like this. Vladimir Putin has suggested that due to all this violence, there may be a rescinding of democracy in Russia so that this terrorism can be crushed. And people are warning him, saying, well, don't talk like that. That sounds like the old Soviet way. And it's been rumored about that maybe it's the Soviet way that comes back to put down the terrorism. You know, Russia's been hit real hard lately with terrorism. Two airplanes have blown up, and now this school children situation, plus the bombings in some Russian metros. Terrible. Dangerous times. The world is crying out for peace. And the world knows that there will be no peace in the world until the Middle East situation is taken care of. And how strange it is that a country the size of New Jersey is so important to the world that it requires the meetings of the minds of nations around the world. And yet God said in the Bible, in the last days before I come back, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone to the nations of the world. Who would have said or believed such a thing 25, 30, 50, 100 years ago? But yet it's front page news today. Israel is in the news. By the way, Jerusalem, you can do a search on this. The city of Jerusalem appears in more news articles than any other city per day, per year, since 1948. Interesting. Now, why is that significant? These are warning signs. Well, he will become, or it will become, a global event, the coming of the Antichrist, by political means. It says here in verse 1, then I. Now, you ought to circle that I, because some of your Bibles say what? Anyone? He. So which one is it? Well, let's read it both ways. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 10 crowns upon those horns. What is the other reading? Then he stood on the sand of the sea. John says then, next sentence, I saw a beast. And a lot of scholars, I happen to be one who holds to this particular view, I think verse 1, it should say, then he, because it jives perfectly, it dovetails perfectly with Revelation chapter 12. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12 that Satan has cast to earth, and he knows that he has but just a short time, and that he's now going to launch his attack. He's going to perpetrate his plan. It seems to me that it is Satan who stands on the sand of the sea after being cast out of heaven, Revelation chapter 12. John responds by saying, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, meaning that it's Satan who draws out of the sea this bizarre creature described to us as a beast. Now, is it a beast? No. Is Satan a dragon? No. It's symbolic language, which requires of us also to consider the sea. What is the sea? Somebody might say it's the Great Sea, and the Great Sea to the Middle Eastern mind is the Mediterranean, and it is a great sea. Is that what's meant here? It could be. But also the Bible speaks about the sea, generally speaking of Gentile communities around the world. You all know this. We use the term all the time. And maybe we don't realize the biblical significance of it when we say the sea of humanity. You ever heard that term? That's a biblical understanding. That's a biblical concept. That the Antichrist will rise up out of the sea of humanity. Now, will his proximity and will his advent to power be in relation to the Mediterranean? No doubt about it. To the Middle East? Of course. So John says, I saw this one rise up out of the sea, this beast rising up out of the sea, and this is what I saw. I saw 7 heads. Speaking of leadership, I saw 7 heads. Daniel tells us more about those 7 heads, that there are 7 ruling or governing entities, but it gets more specific. And 10 horns. I don't want to confuse you, but the 10 horns are not the 7 heads. 10 horns, the word horns throughout all the Old Testament speaks about kingship, tremendous authority. How do we know? What kind of authority? It tells us. And on those horns, how many horns? Not 7, but how many? 10, they have crowns. They rule the world with power. They are a confederacy of leaders who have special authority, and they've been granted crowns of dominion. This is very interesting. It's not foreign to our thinking of realms or kingdoms that have such powers. We've mentioned before the G7, or now it's the G8. These are the nations of the world that determine economic policy around the globe. So the Bible says there's going to be 10 main rulers that will arise in the last days. What's interesting to me is we're holding, I mean, I love this. I get kind of, I know I get overexcited about it, but I love the fact that I'm holding in my hand my Bible, and it's telling me about stuff that hasn't happened yet, but it's soon to come. Doesn't that just give you so much strength when somebody says, oh, brother, you believe in the Bible, that old crusty book? Hey, this old crusty book is more current than today's newspaper. This old crusty book is going to tell me what's coming up. And not only that, it tells me what my Jesus did for me in the past and what he's doing for me today and where he's going to take me when my life comes to an end or there's a trumpet blast and we go up to meet him. I'm excited about that. And that's a wonderful thing. So you know what? On your lap, don't take it lightly. On your lap is a serious book. It is the book of books. It is God's word given to man that we might know our way, that we not be lost. Now, having said that, look with me. He comes by political means. That's what's all the talk about, the seven heads and the horns and the crowns and all of this. By political intrigue, Daniel tells us that he will deceive the world. Listen, he will deceive the world exactly how the world wants to be deceived. I'm being very sarcastic, but accurate. The world, the Bible says in the book of Daniel, when this man comes on the scene, this lion that speaks, this leopard that speaks like a lion with bear's feet of a man, when he comes on the scene, he's going to dupe the world with prosperity, financial gain, and peace. That's what the world wants. Look, I can't blame them. That's a nice thing to have. Maybe this morning you're saying, Jack, what possibly could be wrong with that? There's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but it has to come in priority. It has to come in an order. See, right now this world's messed up. Have you caught on? It's a pretty goofed up world. Things have got to be fixed and dealt with according to God. Don't you agree with me that there should be justice in the earth? It's pretty hard to find justice these days. God says, I'm bringing justice. It's pretty hard to find equity in the world. God says, I'm bringing it. There's a priority. There's a lot of people lost and they don't know God. In fact, they're caught up into cults and they don't even know their way. And Jesus says, preach the gospel and give them the light and tell them that I love them. Priority first. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What a shame it would be. Can you imagine being Bill Gates right now? You can pick up the phone. I bet you don't even have to pick up the phone. He could probably snap his finger and say, I want a banana split. I want a banana split with vanilla on this side and chocolate ice cream on the other side. I want a banana split with some peanuts on the north end and cashews on the south end. He could ask anything he wants. He could say, you know what? I'm going to go buy that island and move my company out of America so I can do my own thing. He could do anything he wants. Can you imagine having that kind of power? I read probably about a year ago when they gave the list. It's been about 9 months ago. They gave the list of the rich people in the world. Did you know that according to the population of America, Bill Gates could buy each and every one of us, citizens of the United States, a BMW? And I read that and I thought, who wants a BMW? what were they trying to do? To bring it down to our level to understand. This is how rich he is. He can do this. How about this? He's so rich, but is he going to go to heaven because he's rich? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. But Bill Gates is the richest man in the world and he's got a side entrance. No. He gave to all kinds of benevolent causes, and he's helped hungry people around the world. So come on in, Bill Gates. No. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. That includes Bill Gates. I would hate to be that rich and never come to know God, the one who gave him his wealth. Don't love the money. Rejoice and love God and see what you can do with the money. That makes all the difference in the world, as you are an example. This week with all that you did for those displaced children in Russia who were terrorized and those girls in Africa. It's a tremendous thing to realize. Listen, also by religious mockery, this man will come on the global scene. It will become a global event, his coming onto the world scene, because he will make light of, when I say religion, he will make light of your faith, or I should say faith in Jesus Christ. They'll make light of it. His cabinet, his entourage, his government will make light of it. I personally believe that what we're seeing in Europe is the advent of the revised or the resurrection of the old Roman Empire. When you see and read about the reunification of Europe, the EU, or I read it this week, the United States of Europe. When you read and hear about that, isn't it interesting that their constitution that they've drawn up in putting it together. They got together and they specifically said, we're not going to make the mistake that America's in right now. We are going to delete any reference of God from our system. And that's what they did. A godless system, but it's hypocritical because the Bible says when this man comes on the scene, they're going to reconsider that and they're going to hail him as a god. In fact, we'll keep studying the next few weeks. We'll see that the very temple that he allows to be rebuilt in Jerusalem, he winds up commandeering it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that he's going to go into the temple. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 15, he's going to stand there and declare himself to be God. All of his success through Satan's going to go to his head, and he's going to own it for himself. Isn't that amazing? And yet that's what the Bible talks about. Religious mockery is going to make light of faith, true faith in God. It says at the end of verse 1, and on his head, blasphemous names. You know, in John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Doesn't that sound narrow? Come on, let's be honest. Isn't it narrow? In fact, if you look at it in the Greek language, it's even narrower. It would read like this. I am the way, there is no other. I am the truth, there is no other. I am, he says, the life, there is no other. Yeah, well, that's what I don't like that about you Christians. It's so narrow. I have to admit it is narrow. I have to confess it's narrow. It is narrow. How many people do you want to have die on a cross for your sins? How often does that have to happen for you? When is it broad enough for you? I mean, let's just get right down to the heart of the matter. The fact that Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, it just flat out upsets people. And you can be upset all you want. But on Sunday morning, Jesus' tomb was emptied. And then, because of that, you got to sit up and listen. Not only that, but if you'll examine the Old Testament record, it said that this would happen. You got to square with Jesus. You got to deal with it. You can't sweep him under the carpet. Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. That means before you pass from this world, you're going to have to deal with the truth of Christ. He ain't going away. You're going to have to deal with that. You either deny him or you accept him. But you can't ignore him. A lot of people are trying to ignore him. Well, the Antichrist will lead a tremendous movement of denial regarding the deity of Christ. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you are born again, Nicodemus, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. That word means born from above. Yeah, that's another issue I have. You guys always talking about being born again. You know, I don't want to belong in that club. It's not a club. Listen, the first time I heard it, it bothered me too. Jesus says, unless you're born again, you're not going to make it. Listen, he told that to a Jewish priest. Do you hear what I'm saying, everybody? Are you with me? That man was 10 times more religious than all of us combined. You think you're religious? Nicodemus put you and I to shame. He fasted. He gave money like you couldn't believe. He looked at the law and he did everything he could to keep it. And when he blew it, he grabbed an animal and went down to the temple and sacrificed it to have his sins covered. You think he drank and cussed and porned around on the internet? Jesus turned to him and said, unless you're born again, you'll not make it. He was so shocked by that. He said, Jesus, how can I, being an old man, enter into my mother and come out again a second time? He didn't listen to what Jesus said. The word in Greek means, unless you're born from above, Nick, you're not going to make it. You've been born of this earth one time, but you have to be born a second time from above. You were born of your mother in this world to make it to heaven. To the next world, you have to be born from above. And who do we see at the end of Jesus' life when they're taking his body down from the cross? Who do we see taking his body and laying it in the tomb? Nick. Nicodemus. Nicodemus caught on, he got it. Paul the Apostle. Again, Paul the Apostle's religiosity put Nicodemus to shame. Paul the Apostle. And Paul the Apostle said, look, you want to talk about good works and being a hot dog for God? I am the hottest of dogs for God. I was circumcised on the eighth day. Top that one. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, blameless. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. I'm it. I'm the end of human perfection in the flesh. I've kept it all. And Paul would say, I challenge anyone to challenge my religious credentials as to who is worthy. And he says, all these things that I achieved, I count them but, what? Dung. Bandini. Poo-poo. Pate. Waste. He said, but now I know Christ. And Paul the Apostle was born again. Listen, I don't care how long you've been coming to Calvary. Or maybe you've been a member of the Baptist church, or maybe you're a Lutheran or a Methodist, you will not make it to heaven unless you're born again. You don't understand. I don't care what you say, Pastor. I've been a member of my church for 45 years. Find that in the Bible. Listen, if you're a Hindu today, you have to be born again. If you're a Jew today, you have to be born again. If you name the name of Christ, if you say you're a Christian, are you born again? Saying a Christian doesn't do it. How are you going to get to heaven? You know, those poor, perverted, demonized men who flew those planes into the World Trade Center, into the Pentagon, did you know what they were taught? They were taught that they could reclaim, redeem themselves by doing this great act for Allah. And in the name of Allah, if they did this, they could enter eternity and be presented for their worthy act, 72 virgins each. That was their reward. Did you know they were lied to? And the passengers on those planes weren't the only ones that went into eternity, but those maniacs that were lied to did as well? And what do you do? Stand before God and say, hey, accept me. I just flew an airplane into some buildings. That's got to account for something. You say, well, that's ridiculous. The Bible teaches clearly that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. That's just as ridiculous. Hang on, ushers, guard the doors. It's just as ridiculous as some very moral man standing up and saying, God, don't you know that I was an upstanding citizen in our community and I helped with benevolent affairs and I was a philanthropic activist in our town and I did all these things and what do you mean I can't come in? Jesus says, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. That question should weigh upon every one of our hearts until it happens. And when it happens, you'll know it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, taking us through the first 10 verses of Revelation chapter 13, which speaks of the Antichrist. Tomorrow, more in-depth examination into this apocalyptic final book of Scripture. Before we conclude today's broadcast, remember that Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Radio would love to hear from you. If the program is playing a part in your growth as a believer, let us know by writing, clicking, or calling. Here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. When you write, be sure and remember the costs associated with bringing you this daily presentation. Once again, our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number is easy, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. Or pay us a visit at www.realradioactive.org. www.realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your financial participation. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.